Our learning will be dedicated in honor of the Yom Haledes of Eliza Bas Shira Tzipora. She should have Shnas Hatzlacha and abundant blessings in all aspects, Beruchnius and Gashmius. And of course, most importantly, that we should merit with the coming of Mashiach immediately. We are going to discuss the topic of wine touched by a Michal Shabbos, someone who's not, doesn't keep Shabbos. Does the wine become non-kosher or not to be drunk as a result? So, we have a general rule that a wine that is mevushel, that's cooked, it's considered that it cannot become non-kosher by being touched by even a regular non-Jew. So, certainly it wouldn't be, there's no question as well for anyone who doesn't keep Shabbos. But, so we will be talking about wine which is non-mevushel wine. Because non-mevushel wine is more of a wine which you could offer on the Mizbech. Therefore, it's possible that if a goy handles it and pours it or touches it, it makes it non-kosher. So what about if a person doesn't keep Shabbos? So in Hilchos Shechita, and this is based upon the Gemara in Chulin on 5a, but the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Beis, it brings down in Sif 5, it says that a mumer for Avodah Zarah or a Michal Shabbos for Farhesia, somebody who desecrates Shabbos openly, these people, it says, or they're a mumar l'chol ha'Torah, or they're a mumar for the whole Torah, even besides for those two things of Avodah Zarah or Michal Shabbos for Farhesia, but they're a mumar for the whole Torah. All of these people, dinei ka'oive kacham, they're like, the din of them is like that of a non-Jew. So here you have it, that one of them is openly violating Shabbos in public view. The law of them is like a non-Jew. So the question is, does that really mean they're like a non-Jew in all aspects? So the truth is, we're not going to be able to go into all questions, how it comes up. But we'll give a general answer that maybe will shed light on that matter. But we're really going to focus primarily on how this would affect with wine. We know that a goy cannot touch wine that is not cooked. So what about Michal Shabbos Befarhesia? So let's understand why Michal Shabbos Befarhesia, openly desecrating Shabbos, is so severe that it treats it like like a person who's a non-Jew. What does that mean? So in the Gemara in Chulin on 5a, Rashi there writes that the Tana, I'm translating, the Tana equates the severity of Shabbos violation to idolatry, since that serving idolatry, one denies an Hashem, and one who desecrates Shabbos denies an Hashem's actions, and is if they are testifying falsely that Hashem did not rest after the creation of the world. So that's why open violation of Shabbos is very severe, like someone who is an atheist or a denier of Hashem. Now, the question, of course, is, when we say that if a person is Michal Shabbos Befarhesia, that they violate Shabbos in public, how many people need to see it for it to be considered in public? Obviously, it can't be somebody who just violates Shabbos when no one's looking at him and nobody sees him. So we have the Be'er Heitiv. The Be'er Heitiv is in Hilchos Shechita, in the same sif that we quoted. So he brings down in Hilchos Shechita Siman Beis, that a person does not receive the status of Michal Shabbos Farhesia unless they violated Shabbos in front of 10 Jews, and that they did it more than one time. It was one time, I don't know, maybe we think it was something they would do again, maybe this or that. But so it has to be in front of 10 or more Jews, and it had to have been that they did it more than one time. And also we find that the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shechita, in his Kuntzer Sachron, in Sif Katin 10, he also rules that Michal Shabbos Farhesia is when someone violates Shabbos in front of 10 Jews, or that it was that they were Michal Shabbos in a way where it was known to the public and that it'll become known to everyone, or to more general public, which could mean maybe that even if less people then knew about it, but apparently everyone will later know about it, that also would be considered like it was done in public. And this applies, and the Alter Rebbe there as well, and the Kuntzer Sachron says, that applies even if the reason the Chilul Shabbos was only due to Teyavan, it was only personal desire. In other words, they're not doing it because they want to get people angry, but they want to make money or something like that. The bottom line is that it was done on purpose for whatever the reasons are, and in public view, and that's that. So that is considered somebody's Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. There's an Aliyah Rabbah, and he is on the Levush. And the Aliyah Rabbah, this is in Hilchas Erevin, really, but this is in Siman 385 and Sifkatin 3. He holds that even if they violate Shabbos in front of 10 Jews, but would avoid violating in front of an important person like a Nasi is like a Jewish leader or a very important, distinguishable rabbi or the like, they wouldn't do it. They would be embarrassed to do in front of such a person. Then even if they still, Michal Shabbos here and there, but they wouldn't do it in front of a very important person, so then we don't call them Michal Shabbos for Farhasya. And that is also the view of the Mishnah Brura as well in Hilchas Erevin in Siman 385. And this also seems to be the view of the Tzemach Tzedek that I once spoke about, which is in Ebenezer, Siman 259, where there he was talking about someone who was a witness, and that person had been keeping some shop open, and it wasn't clear that they were taking money actually, but this or that. But the point was that there was some sort of leniency that the Tzemach Tzedek learned on that person due to the fact that that person would never violate Shabbos in front of some important person. So we see that the Tzemach Tzedek also somewhat considers that opinion, that if the person wouldn't do Chilul Shabbos in front of an important person, that might alleviate the issue, and thus, in the context of Chilul Shabbos, we don't classify them as Mechal Shabbos in public. We just call it, because someone who just Mechal Shabbos here and there, and it's non-public, we don't give them the status that if they're like a non-Jew with regard to touching wine. However, it's very difficult to rely solely on that tshuva, on this view of the Aliyah Rabbah, because if we're talking about somebody who anyways is Mechal Shabbos in front of lots of people, how can we really tell if they would or wouldn't do it in front of some important person? So it is a bit difficult to rely on any leniency once you know that they are violating Shabbos in front of lots of people. They drive the car, everyone sees them, they don't mind. I mean, that would be an issue. Where how can you really tell if they wouldn't do it in front of some important person? So, let's say they drive the car, but they park it away so no one will see them. Maybe that's not considered Michal Shabbos Farhesi. Probably it's not. Now, the Be'er Heitiv and the Shulchan Aruch Admor Zaken also write that even if the public, and now the Alter Rebbe that I'm going to mention is in Hilchas Erevin as well in 385, that even if the violation is only rabbinic law, but it's clear that they're doing it on purpose, this is also considered in the category of Michal Shabbos Befarhesia. However, the Pesachei Tshuva disagrees and holds that one who, when one violates, when we call the Michal Shabbos Befarhesia, it has to be for a Torah prohibition, not just a Rabbanon. Some argue on certain types of lights, LED, is it Rabbanon, is it rabbinical, is it Doraisa, is it biblical? Anyways, it's an interesting point that could be brought up, but that is a machlokus. But the Alter Rebbe clearly says that even a rabbinical Chilul Shabbos is also, if it's done in front of lots of people, it's also Chilul Shabbos for Hesia. So now, again, we have to address the question that this that we say, that if someone is openly Chilul Shabbos for Hesia, if we treat them like a non-Jew, is that in all regards, or is that, in what matters would it, yeah or not, apply to? So, as we mentioned, I'm not going to talk about a minyan, if we can count them in a minyan. I'm not going to talk about Birchas Kohanim. We're going to talk about wine. But I guess to cut to the choice is that we will see that by wine we're actually more stringent than by other matters. And I'm going to try to explain in a moment. Now, with regard to wine specifically, so the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredea Simen 124, Sif 8, There it mentions the words that a mumer, mumer is like a, translated somebody who doesn't believe in Hashem, like an apostate or the like. So a mumer, they make non-mavushal wine, they make non-cooked wine, they turn it into yain nesef by their touching it, which would make it forbidden to drink. Not forbidden to have benefit, but forbidden to drink. Now, it uses an ambiguous statement over there in the Shulchan Aruch. It only says a mumer. It doesn't say what type of mumer. It doesn't say somebody who breaks Shabbos. Now, the Darkei Tshuva over there, Sifkat and Yud Beis, brings from various poskim who do interpret and say that a Mechal Shabbos Varhesia is considered like an Achri in this regard, which would make the wine not good. Now, you might ask, why is it that, why are we, if you think about the reason why a non-Jew makes wine non-kosher by touching it, well, let's try to understand it and see if any of those reasons apply to someone who doesn't keep Shabbos. So there's an interesting tshuva from the Chassam Sefer in Yoredei Siman 120, where there he explains that the reason of, he says, why is it that by a goy we can't drink the wine? Either the reason because we don't want to allow that if we drink their wine that we'll intermarry with them and they're non-Jewish. That could be one reason. Or because they have, and the more popular reason is because they have idolatrous thoughts. Like if they're going to pour the wine, they have in mind for their avodah zarah or something. So he says, if you think about it, by a person who doesn't keep Shabbos, neither of those reasons are applicable. In other words, they definitely don't think about avodah zarah. If a person doesn't keep Shabbos, a Jewish person, they don't keep any religion. They're just not in it. But they're not involved in other religions, very unlikely. And then with regard to intermarriage, well, what could be the problem with a non-Shomer Shabbos Jew who his daughter is still Jewish? And she could be, you know, a very God-fearing person. So it really has neither of those reasons apply, seemingly, why we should forbid touching of wine by a Mechal Shabbos. Why should it be a problem? So the Chassam Sofer says, he says, rather it's a knas, that the reason the sages made it forbidden is just it's a penalty, that they made this Jew like as if he's a non-Jew in this specific regard, and not because either of these reasons are applicable to him, but we're just stringent on him. That's what comes out from the Chassam Sefer explaining this. Now, with that said, we, of course, you know, would be only required and fair to say that we should mention the whole concept of Mechal Shabbos, how that applies to the Tinuk Shenishba. And I've discussed this in the past. The Tinuk Shenishba, by way of definition, is that when a Jew is not religious today, and it could have been in other times in history, but we have to look at the context. You know, there is a difference between someone who learned in yeshiva and they were Talmud Chacham, and then the Shana of the Pirish, they learned and then they decided to go away with everything. So that's and if they want to also violate Shabbos, so that's, you know, how much worse. You know, that's one type of context. But then you have a context which mostly applies, that it's just people that never really grew up with a chinuch, Torah education, a proper one. Their education, maybe a bit of Reform Hebrew school or nothing, or this or that. It's very difficult to really say that they are held for their actions so responsible as if like a normal, you know, from Jew. So the Binyan Sian in Siman Chav Gimel, he actually was talking about wine, and he says that, again, a tshuva from 1860, he says that wine that, you know, was touched by one of the non-religious person who was, you know, grew up from non-religious parents, he says they're really a tinik shenishba. They don't, you know, they're not an apostate. They don't not believe in Hashem. These people would make Kiddush. They just don't keep Shabbos in many regards because that's just the way they were educated. Or they only follow the actions of their fathers and their hands, and they're like a baby that was raised amongst the goyim. And therefore, with regard to wine, the Binyan Sion learns merit that if people would drink wine from a Jew who doesn't keep Shabbos in those in the context of where they don't know any better and they think that they're not doing anything wrong, he could understand that those will be lenient with it. However, he does also mention that is tavayla bracha, praiseworthy for someone to be stringent in this matter. And of course, the Binyan Siyan follows and views also on the Rambam, Hilchas Mamrim, that even if a non-religious Jew, you know, were to later discover Torah and Jews and Orthodox practice and mitzvahs and keeping Shabbos and all these things, but they still don't do it, the Rambam writes that if they just grew up wrong, with the wrong chinuch, you can't really blame them because even when they're still continuing to do or not keep mitzvahs, it's like it's an onus. It's like it's against their will because that's how they were brought up. So therefore it comes out that it's, you know, a person just knows that people, there are, you know, people keep Shabbos and he's not. That doesn't mean that they're automatically, they lose their status of Tinuk Shenishba. So Binyan Siyan seems, he's saying that, you know, he could understand leniency for those who would treat their wine that they touch, that it would not make it forbidden. However, he feels it would be proper to be stringent if for someone who should choose to do so. He thinks that's the right thing. Now, the Lubavitch Rebbe, he also in a sicha and in a sefer sichas, it's in Tavshin Nun Aleph, Parshas Vayichi, page 228 in the sefer sichas there. He talks at great length about how non-religious Jews today should be learned, we should learn merit on them, and that the Rebbe goes all the way with the psak of the Rambam, that the Jews today that are not religious, you know, that grew up not religious alike, you can't say, oh, because they live in Israel, so they see the religious lifestyle, therefore it's their fault if they're not religious. No, he said it all depends on how the chinuch is done as well, their education, and therefore the Rebbe held that they are also tinuk shenishba, how much more so, you know, or I can't say how much more so, but also Jews in America and around the world, those who are not religious, they have a din of tinuk shenishba. So, and there are other commentators and other mefarshim and poskim who have similar explanations and the like. So now the question would be, there are some that are more stringent. For example, there's a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, where he says, this is in Eben Ezer, Chelik Beis, Simin Chof, Anaf 4, Anaf Dalet, where Rav Moshe Feinstein, he argues with the Binyan Siyan, and he explains that Shabbos violation is something that is known, that a person can't break Shabbos, or they're not supposed to, and therefore, so, you know, it would be difficult to learn merit on people where everybody knows that you're not supposed to drive the car on Shabbos and this and that. However, the Jews who keep Shabbos and transgress on matters that have to do with their livelihood, but overall they're keeping Shabbos, he held that there could be leniency on them. He wanted to go harder on those who don't keep any part of Shabbos. Okay, fine. There are differing opinions, but many opinions follow the Malam and Lohoyel, the Lubavitch Rebbe, seemingly the reading of the Rambam, Binyan Siyan, we said, they seem to would give much merit to those who don't keep Shabbos for, you know, the non-religious background that they went through. So it comes out that we could learn merit on the wine. So the question is, if so, we find a letter from the Rebbe in two different or so places. For example, Igros Kodesh Chelik 15, page 217, Igros Kodesh Chelik 13, page 322. We're there in the context of wine that was on a boat, like a cruise ship by Jews, and the Rebbe held that it's like Yain Nesech. So the Rebbe held that the wine is not kosher. He said it's like we can't drink it because those are Mechalos Shabbos and make it non-kosher. So the question is, if the Rebbe's view seemingly was that all Jews are Tinuk Shenishba over here, then theoretically that wouldn't make their wine forbidden. So why would the Rebbe view that wine of, you know, not Mechal or Shabbos would make it non-kosher? So this is a well-known question. There's a sefer called Shuta Shluchim for Rab Nachmanson, where he addresses this question, and his answer that he suggests is that it seems the Rebbe took a more stringent approach with regard to wine more than in other regards. And we really have to say that because some poskim also want to say the same thing, that including Mechal Shabbos, you can't include them in a minyan necessarily. For Bechas Koyanim, if they don't keep, if they're Mechal Shabbos. Again, if only was if they were Mechal Shabbos for Farhesi, someone who doesn't keep Shabbos here and there, but it's not openly, we wouldn't rule them that way at all. But if they, for a minyan, this and that, some poskim are more stringent on these matters. And I would from different places I find that it seems that many, definitely small towns, we would count them in a minyan and none of that. We wouldn't exclude them or limit their, how we, you know, treat someone in counting them as a Jew. Not at all. For sure we would consider them Jewish and count them in a minyan and give them an aliyah. I mean, everything has its right context and how it needs to be done. But in other words, so why does there ever hold that we're going so stringent on wine? And the answer that he suggests is because by wine we find that we just more, we take more stringencies. In fact, by the Chazal, they made many gzeiras on wine, decrees upon decrees, because you're making kiddush on it, and it has a lot of spiritual connotations involved in it. And perhaps this fits also with the Chassam Sofer that we mentioned, that if we look at the reason as to why we would be stringent on wine for Mechal or Shabbos for Hesia, he says there's no justified reason to Aser, because intermarriage is not applicable for daughters or sons of such a person. And also the reason of Avodah Zarah, these people, Mechal or Shabbos people, they don't serve Avodah Zarah. There's nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. So it's some sort of decree. It's a knas that it was placed on. So it seems that we have to just we took upon ourselves a stringency in this regard with regard to wine. But of course, you know, as a Hashem, we should merit to be able to bring the light of the Torah to everyone and bring the sweetness of the Torah. Thus, everyone will be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos, as it says in Yerushalmi, that all we have to do is keep two Shabboses and we'll have Mashiach.